You can find us on Facebook, NPR Morning Edition, and also Twitter.
I'm at Ari Shapiro. Renee is at NPR Montaigne. Our colleague Steve Inskeep is at NPR Inskeep, and David Green is at NPR Green.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Ari Shapiro.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in with an update of what's been happening in Chicago as trade opened an hour ago or so. Futures in the corn pit are up about 3 cents for the day, $3.62 at this hour. September on its last tick at 368.5 is up 2.75. And the new crop December corn at $3.79.25, 2.5 cents higher. March contract at $3.90 up 2.5 for the day. July soybeans, $9.41, they're up 5.75. August at $9.29.5 up a nickel, and September at $9.20.5, 5.5 higher. November beans at $9.19 up 4 for the morning. Bean meal at $3.05.70, $3 higher. Bean oil 28 cents lower at $34.45. Soft red winter wheat at $5.19.5. That's up 8.5 cents. The hard red at $5.37, 7.75 higher. Live cattle futures are 50 cents higher at $153, and the August feeders at $222. Both of those at evens, up a dime for the day. Lean hogs at $83 and a nickel are down 50 cents. On the phone line to take a look at these numbers and talk a bit about WASDE next week and what might come up in the acreage reports and USDA's grain stocks report and where we are technically is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Thanks, Dan, for taking the time with me this morning. I do appreciate it. What you see in the market this week, and technically, where do we stand?
Well, we're starting off the week and the month. We made new lows for the decline in corn and soybeans, and now we're up for the week, and it looks, you know, depending on how we close today and tomorrow, we could have weekly reversals to the upside in place for the first week in June. We're coming off of some very deeply oversold conditions after we've been in a counter-seasonal decline through the month of April and May and the first week here in June. I mean, this is normally the time window that you normally start making seasonal highs or in the window for seasonal highs, and here we're kind of maybe turning up. And, of course, weekly reversals at the first of the month, they have a good chance of being turning into monthly reversals. But in order to get a monthly reversal, we're going to have to escape the June 31st report or June 30th report without any damaging the fundamentals. And, you know, that might be a tall order, but one never knows. Wheat is the leader. I think we're going back to the old-fashioned days when wheat or oilseeds were the leader. Corn was always a follower, but corn kind of took the leadership role during the ethanol boom days, but that has gone flat now. So you got to look at a thing toward wheat and oil seeds to be leaders. Wheat is a leader. You've got a developing high-pressure ridge beginning to develop maybe in Europe. We've got parts of Russia. We've got a lot of the EU in stress. So wheat numbers, wheat production numbers could be coming down. We've had a big hit in wheat production in India. They've had a couple weeks of 110, 113 degree type temperatures. We got dryness developing in Kansas, in Canada. So it does look like the fundamental balance sheet in wheat is at least at the moment on track to shrink. And if we can get wheat to go, and I think from a timing point, wheat could very easily be pulling out of a five-year cycle low. And if it does, and if it is pulling out of a five-year cycle low, that is going to pull corn with it, and we could get to the point where we could maybe confirm last fall's low of 318 as a major cyclical low in corn, and maybe this whole thing's going to be a whole lot better than what everybody thinks. My Ouija board does keep the door open for price strength here during June, July, August, and that might carry into September. We've talked about it several times that even though we have a large carryout in corn, it may not feel as heavy this year because we're not going to have any July harvested or very little August harvested corn coming out of the southern region. So that is going to be a rare situation that we have not had for several years, because the last several years we've been able to get a lot of corn for export, for processing use out of the Arkansas-Mississippi area during the month of August, and that's not going to happen this year. So I'm kind of in the opinion that if we can escape the June report without anything terribly damaging, the market might have might be a little lighter than what everybody thinks right now. But we do have farmer offers above the market. Farmers do need to move some old crop corn yet to get their June bills paid. And I think if the market would be strong enough to go ahead and get those offers out of the way, then I think then the technicians could take this market and have some fun with it on the upside.
All right. So that fun would come, I'm assuming here, late August, early September. And,
yeah.
And that farmers who need to move crop probably would, as long as they can get the bids in that June and July, early July time frame. But there are a few that they're thinking they want to hold out. There are a lot of people that have said, hey, that's going to be really ugly. You're telling me, and you're making a pretty good fundamental argument that because the crop in the South is either late or not there, one of the two, that there may be some good basis moves in that August, early September time frame.
Yes, and actually, you know, I want to be a little friendly. I'm not going to ignore this week's weekly reversal that could turn into a June reversal. And the other thing that we got to keep in mind, that I think since we've been in a counter seasonal decline, the trade has pretty well priced in upper yield potentials. I think they're right up there where USDA's World Board's got them, or maybe even higher, because we've had a generally good planting season. The crop rating levels are decent. Now we've lost some corn acres maybe in some areas. We don't know for sure how much, because we don't know whether or not USDA's March number was right. It was their guess at the time or their survey. And but, you know, we could go into that June 30th report and find out that maybe we don't have as many corn stocks as we thought we had based upon the March report, and we could very easily have less corn and soybean acres planted than what the trade has been thinking. And with most of the bearishness, I think, or anticipated big yields, big crops, building carryovers priced into the market, if you begin to tuck them in any, all of a sudden the bear doesn't have any more horsepower to push it down, and he's forced to cover. I don't believe there's an end user in the world that has more coverage than probably a hand-to-mouth, because they're looking at the fundamental picture. I mean, the fundamental picture is so bearish, it's even got me bearish. So so it is time for the market to turn.
Does it scare,
I mean,
does
when
it
you
scare
look at that soybean carryover of 500 to 600 million, you go, wow, you know, that if that happens, we're all going to be, you know, heading for a cave someplace this winter. But but cyclically, I think we're in the time window for a 37 to 40-week soybean cycle to begin to turn up here in the next 30 days. And I think the corn, the 40 to 45-week corn cycle could also be turning up. And I, you know, like I said, I we'll have to see how this thing plays out. But if we begin to tuck in the world wheat crop, and wheat would begin to take off to $6.50 to $7, you're not going to have corn at $3.50.
Thank you so much. We'll talk with you again this afternoon and then for Commodity Week 2.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. A quick look at the marketplace. Again, corn futures are up around 2 cents. Soybeans up about 4 or 5. Wheat futures are up around 7 for the day. The live cattle futures are 47.5 higher. The feeders are up 25 cents. Lean hogs down about 37 cents. We're on our way to sunny skies, a high of 82 on this Thursday. Southwest winds at about 8 miles an hour. Tonight, cloudy, a low of 65. Showers and thunderstorms on Friday are quite likely, mostly cloudy, a high of 79. Chance of rainfall tomorrow set by the National Weather Service in the Urbana-Champaign area at 70%. And Friday night will clear out just a bit, mostly cloudy skies, but no rainfall, low 59, northwest winds at 10 miles an hour. And Saturday, sunny skies and 79, east-northeast winds at 10 miles an hour. It's the top of the hour, 10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. I'm Todd Gleason.